This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. In this global economy, there are lots of pluses to doing business in other parts of the world, but you have to be careful or your marketing efforts could backfire badly. You have to be savvy about the local culture and buying habits. Joining me this afternoon are Gunter Kafer. He's the Director of Brand Strategy and Brand Communication at the Institute for Brand Communication of the University of Applied Sciences in Berlin. Ralph Weber, President and CEO of ME Brand Communication in Dusseldorf, and Nick Veer, the President and CEO of Veer Communications. He was also the Managing Director of the 2012 World Choir Games, the largest global event in Cincinnati's history. Ralph, it can't be that hard to market a product overseas. I just go into another country with everything I put into my U.S. marketing plan. How can I go wrong?
Well, there are a lot of risks which guide you in the wrong direction, and this has to do mostly with cultural understanding and cultural codes. And the question is, if you have got a consistent message with your product or your brand, and you transfer 60% of your messaging into a new culture and to address the target groups, this means, on the other hand, that 40% get lost, and this means a lot of money gets lost as well. And basically it has to do with messaging, and which pays off into money at the end.
So there are a lot of things that come into play. There's culture, there's language, there's demographics, there's even local buying habits are different from place to place.
Yeah. And also where you come from. So it's important for the sender to show from which culture he comes from. This means the company where it comes from, in order to help the target group that they recognize the source and can put it in their cultural understanding.
Gunter, you worked on developing the brand genome process. What is that about, and how does that apply to global marketing?
Yeah. So the brand genome process is a certain structure not to get lost in the space of branding. So it helps you to be guided. And so I developed together with an institute 12 years ago this process, and it works very well internationally in all parts of the world. That means this process is based on an analogy which guides you. There are three brand genes, and you go along three brand genes. That means that you are able to see anything what's of importance to position a brand internationally. And the key aspect is, how may I transfer the strengths of my brand onto other markets? And this system helps you to find the right positioning in the right way.
There's also the brand strategic evaluation process, which, Ralph, I think you've been working on. What is that about?
Well, the brand strategic evaluation process applies the brand genome process, but it was modified for intercultural branding. This means we help companies from one culture into the other culture transfer their basic messages from the brand, and this means when they enter new markets. So we do, together with the decision makers of a brand, of a corporate brand, an assessment. And in order to learn what are the strengths of a brand in their home market. And then we bring in intercultural experts such as Nick Veer, for example, and we put it on a broader platform. This means we bring in other intercultural experts with different professions and do this second assessment in the target market where the company would like to relocate to. And according to this process of the brand genome process, we talk about performance, we talk about identity, we talk about target groups and economic environment. And this way we get a good strategic platform, which is important before we start the communication process.
So how does a company use these tools? Where do they start before they enter a new market?
Starting with the brand genome process, I think. But yeah, the objective normally is you have a strong, tough brand in your home market, and how to bring abroad this strength into other markets. This is the starting point normally, and then we are going forward with our BSEP team. That means we are going along the brand genome process, working step by step, and coming to the concentrated, it's a currency of the brand, to lead a brand internationally by defining the brand proposition pyramid. And this pyramid is the currency you could work on. The content of this pyramid is the basis to lead a brand globally. And the starting point is normally to go abroad to find new markets.
Nick, you wanted to add to that?
Well, I just wanted to add, it's really interesting. We talk about brand, and what brand really means is a promise. And the belief of BSEP and the brand genome process is that the promise is universal. How the promise is communicated is very, very sensitive. So, for example, I mean, we Cincinnatians, sometimes we break down in communications from east side to west side. We know in America, Ohio to Kentucky, from New England to California, there are differences in how you present things and talk about it. Now just think about 20 cultures in Western Europe or any of those cultures coming to America or America going into any of those cultures. Tiny nuances can make a big difference. And a great example of this is in the post-World War II world where the American Jeep, in the eyes of American, the brand promise is independence. It's victory. It's all of that. In Europe, 20 different countries, depending on one country you were in, it could stand for liberation. It could stand for occupation. And their research showed them exactly that. And it's one example of the nuances of language across cultures and for brands and for businesses with their services or their products, how important it is to get it right the first time because it's so expensive to undo mistakes.
Yeah, and in the case of Jeep, it could be either a positive or a negative. So you're rather stuck with that one.
Absolutely. It can be a positive or a negative. And then transfer that into home care products, to professional services, to automotive products, to technology products. It translates across many, many different product lines and service lines. And that's why it's so important to get it right.
And, you know, this probably gives away my age, but my favorite branding name disaster was the Chevy Nova, which in the Spanish world, if you said it Nova, it translated roughly to no go, which is not a good name for a car. What are some of the other hazards and disasters that have occurred over the years besides Jeep and Nova?
I think as branders, we all know great case studies that are out there. There's some examples from Procter & Gamble products, some personal care products, where in some cultures, there is a little more sensitivity expressed about personal beauty care products. For example, in Japan, the Japanese women are not so anxious to be shown on television commercials in their lingerie or applying makeup. But in the United States, that's very standard. And in many parts of Western Europe, it's very standard. And I think great companies like Procter & Gamble, who now know this well, years ago can talk about their learning in that. And again, you just take that simple application and apply it. Walk into the grocery store, look down 10 aisles. In any of those aisles, there are applications of what a consumer might purchase or look in nobody looks in phone books anymore. You look on your smartphone for a professional service, banking, accounting, legal, whatever it is, and how that's presented could be very sensitive across cultures.
What about some of the successes, though? We've had our disasters. What are some of the successes in the world of international branding?
This way of working works very international. So what we have done recently, we positioned Japanese and Chinese brands as well, very special, out from China or from Japan, globally presentation of a brand. Overall, I guess it's more than 150 companies with more than 200 brands in different categories like corporate branding, organizations, and so on. And we did it in countries like the U.S. We started with some products in the U.S., in U.K., France, a lot of European countries. So it's this brand genome process works in a proven way, I have to say. And it's a pretty good basis to establish a currency.
Ralph, when you're working with a company and going into an international market, how long of a process is that? Is it months? Does it take a long time to get it right?
It's approximately 3 months. from the beginning on. This means we start to get deep into the analysis stuff a company can provide or a brand can provide, like, market studies and so on, or consumer studies or target group studies. And then we set up the target questions for the first assessment with the decision makers. And then we take some analysis time in order to find out what we talk about in the second assessment with the intercultural experts. And then it takes us, and everything what is said in such an assessment is recorded and written on the wall. That means that everybody can see what's written on the screen and can correct it. It's a very dynamic process and an interactive process. And from that point on, we start in our offices a kind of analysis process where we define some magnetic fields, where are the strengths, where are some different aspects of this problem we work on. And then we build up a presentation and start the strategic definitions of the brand, talking about the personality, the values, the portfolio, the core competencies, the brand positioning, and the benefit. For example, we did that for the Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce when they started to work in Europe and to find companies to relocate in the U.S. And in this context, we help them to define what we will talk about in the communication process.
How hard is it for a German or a European company to market here in the U.S. for the first time? What challenges do they face when they're first coming in?
Well, in the U.S., marketing has a totally... it has a different approach and compared to Europe. Procter & Gamble is the mother of all branding companies, and they are experienced like 80 years in this aspect. And due to the fact that the American culture is much more communicative, for example, compared to the German one, we are more formal, we are more hesitant. So this is important for the German companies to find the right approach in talking to the target groups. And there are also some very, very, commodities which people do not think about. German companies tend to use British English instead of American English. So theater or with an RE at the end or instead of ER. Or they have this, the format of their brochures, which is a European one rather than stationery in the U.S.
Letterhead.
I wasn't sure. And these are the first signs when a target person opens the envelope that something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the key steps to go is when you defined and approved the strategy, set this chart for your desk, but now the strategy has to appear in public. That means even how do you recognize in a certain market this brand and what is the strength? And this is the next step. And there are a lot of mistakes could happen because... you have to transfer the strategy from the brand syndrome process to the market, and that means you need brand building communication. And what are the signs, the signals? What is the key picture? What is the language of a brand, and so on? This is of importance, and there could be a lot of mistakes.
Gunter, how has the world changed over the last 20 years, thanks to the internet, the new global economy? What's that done to the marketing world? Has it made it easier? Has it made it tougher?
I guess not easier, but more interesting, because it's a global village now. So you could recognize what happens with a brand in the Far East, in the Middle East, in the US, and in Europe. So, and you could compare it. And this is a challenge for each brand. You have to appear consistently. At the same time, you have to meet the psychological behaviors, the pattern of the people in the markets abroad. So I guess this is a challenge. You have to be consistent globally, but you have to transfer your message into markets like, for example, Japan, China, US, Europe, it's completely different in some respects. And how to be consistent, because you have to focus on the same picture, the same corporate design, the same approach, and this is a challenge in my eyes.
It's instantaneous, of course, and once it's out there, it never goes back. So as you know, last week, these gentlemen were here to present to Cincinnati area companies about the branding process, cross-cultural codes, and how to make sure that what they're saying applies whether you're entering America or whether you're entering a European country to market. And they, along with some legal experts and some other experts in cultural coding, we were all involved in that presentation.
Gunter, what advice do you have for a local company that wants to enter the international market? What is the first thing that they absolutely need to do?
You always have to be yourself. Everything you are doing abroad, you have to focus on your strengths. What is the core of your success? What is the strength of your brand in your home market? And then you have to transfer this strength into other parts of the world, and you should be consistent, you should be yourself, authentic, and to be authentic, in my eyes, is the most important fact.
And Ralph, what's your advice for a company as they first enter an international market? What is the first thing that they need to do?
It's important that they talk to and that they deal with the mentality of the target market. And it depends whether or not it's a B2B brand which is brought on the market or a B2C brand. And that's the first thing they have to consider and talk to the target groups.
Well, thank you all for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you.
Gunter Kafer, Director of Brand Strategy and Brand Communication at the Institute for Brand Communication of the University of Applied Sciences in Berlin. Ralph Weber, President and CEO of ME Brand Communication in Dusseldorf, and Nick Veer, the President and CEO of Veer Communications.